You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 62 of Take a Bow Podcast. I'm your host, Eli Tokash, and I cannot stress how excited I am for today's episode. If you haven't noticed yet, it is with Jagged Little Pill star and Jimmy Award finalist Antonio Cipriano. And speaking of the Jimmy Awards, because that just recently happened, it was lovely to talk to him about the Jimmys and about the Jimmy season and how it all works. A little bit like the conversation that we had with Andrew Barth Feldman when we had him on a couple months ago, but like in a refreshing way and a more in-depth way. It just a very exciting stuff all around. And he has an upcoming show. If you're listening to this the day it releases, it's actually exactly a week from today. If you're listening to this podcast the day it's released on Thursday, it is on August 5th at 9:45 at 54 Below. And he's going to be singing some of his favorite all-time songs that we talk a little bit about in this episode. I will be at his show, so if you are able to come, join that wait list and call 54 Below. Join that wait list. And I hope to see you there, and I bet Antonio does too. And maybe you already have tickets, and that's even better. But with that being said, there's so many great things about this episode, and I want to send you all to that right now. But before we do that, let's talk about some news going on in the Broadway world, because there's been some incredible things going on since we last chatted. Contrary to what I reported last week about Andrew Lloyd Webber, is his production of Cinderella, of course. It is actually going to be resuming its opening in the West End on August 18th. So I know last week I had reported that he was like, oh, I'll just shut the show down and blah, blah, blah. And that just turned out that that's not what his plan is actually to do. So he's going to be opening back up on August 18th. And from what I've heard, the music in this show is incomparable to any other like remake of a musical and whatnot. I've heard that this music and his score to Cinderella is unmatched, truly. I heard it's amazing, and I cannot wait to listen to it and hear more about it. And hopefully, I can't wait to see it when it comes to the States. I think it's going to be awesome. And I think a lot of people are interested in seeing a remake of Cinderella because it's such a classic. Like, why would anybody touch it? But of course, it's Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber, so of course, anything he touches turns to gold. And so, of course, I'm excited to see it. He's one of the all-time greatest composers and lyricists of our generation, of course. Exciting stuff, nonetheless, that we will be seeing the Cinderella after all, and the cast and crew and everyone involved still have jobs and still has some hope down over in the West End. So very exciting stuff. And speaking of the West End, Sutton Foster made her West End debut in Anything Goes, reviving her role. So that's very exciting. Congratulations, Sutton. I don't know. I would love to see her revive that. And I know she's like kind of doing it to get into shape for the Music Man. I just can't wait to see her on stage again. Honestly, I don't know about Music Man, but yeah, that's for another time. Am I right? But I also wanted to tell you all about an exciting award that's being made. Target ALS announced the establishment of the inaugural Target ALS Rebecca Luker Courage Award. And this award will spotlight individuals who have demonstrated a courageous spirit and made a positive impact on the ALS community over the past year. Every year, this is going to be a new award in Rebecca Luker's name, honoring the star that she was and honoring the amazing, amazing person that she was. I've talked a lot about her on this podcast before. My time in Secret Garden with her literally changed my life as a person and as an actor. I cannot just stress enough how wonderful of a person she was, and I could not think of anyone better to name this award after. So very exciting, and it seems ever since, unfortunately, we have to wait for tragic things to happen for light to be shed on certain communities and certain acts and policies and whatnot. And it's unfortunate that it has to happen that way. But honestly, I am very thrilled to see the steps forward that the ALS community and, of course, everyone, the general population's involvement in ALS and, of course, their willingness to learn more about it and just shining a light on it more often than as it should be. And just Rebecca Luker, I can't say enough about her. She's incredible, and I'll update you all who gets that award and continue to shine a light on ALS, because it's definitely something that deserves to be talked about. In other news, Broadway World announced that all the original queens are going to be returning to Six on Broadway. So obviously, when these shows have been closing down, everyone's like, oh, is the cast going to be back? Is it going to be the same people? Whatnot? And it turns out that the Six has been able to bring back all of their original cast, and that's going to be the same. So if you didn't see Six before it shut down, and now you'll have the opportunity to do so, you will be seeing the original cast. So you will be seeing all the same people, which is so wonderful to hear and so wonderful for them that they still have jobs and they still have hope, just like everyone in the West End with Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cinderella. I know I'm repeating myself, but it's true. This is just great to see, and I'm so thrilled. And I hope that they make a cast album, because they currently have a cast album, but it's from a different production. And I just think that this production of Six was just so beautiful, and the songs were just even more amped up and rewritten and new. And the way that these wonderful humans decided to perform it on stage every night was just electric. And I think it definitely deserves a cast album. So I'm glad to hear that at least it has the opportunity of being those same people that I saw just before the pandemic had hit and Broadway had shut down. And that's about it for this week's news. I do want to say that Take a Bow has launched some more Pride merch. So that's very exciting. If you're interested, head over to takeabowpod.com. Check out all the Pride merch. Every Pride merch you see on our website, if you purchase Pride merch, that purchase is going straight to the Trevor Project. So not only are you donating to a wonderful cause, obviously you all know that Trevor Project and Trevor the Musical and everything involved with Trevor is very dear to my heart. So if you do choose to buy a piece of Take a Bow merchandise, not only are you getting a awesome collection item of Take a Bow or clothing piece of Take a Bow or whatever you decide to do, but you will also be making a huge difference in LGBTQIA+ youth. So please consider doing so, and I appreciate everyone who's already done so, and I've messaged them all privately and just said thank you for your contribution and thank you for your generosity and everything involved in supporting Take a Bow and, of course, the Trevor Project, which is even more important. So with that being said, let's turn it over to the Drama Dictionary Word of the Week. And this week's Drama Dictionary Word of the Week is going to be an overture. And you want to know why it's going to be an overture? Because I'm going to a concert, and it's one of the first live events I've gone to since the pandemic has kind of slowed down, not really reopened. And of course, that's our guest this week. So I'm just excited about it. And an overture is music, right? An overture is the beginning of the show where you are just sitting and you're waiting for that curtain to rise. And all of a sudden, the piano and the whole band in the orchestra decide to like do a whole medley of almost every song in the entire show. And then during the show, you're like, wait, I feel like I've heard this song. And it turns out you did, because you heard parts of it in the overture. And so that's what that is. The overture is a part that starts the musical off, and it's a medley of most of the songs that you'll be listening to that entire show. And it kind of pieces it all together, and it just shows how everything is related and everything is one. And I think it's a beautiful way to start a show and to start and to get everyone into the mood of things, and just builds that anticipation before the curtain rises. I think it's one of the coolest things ever. So yeah, if you were wondering, why am I just sitting here listening to music? Well, you're actually listening to the overture of a Broadway show. And it's literally the Finding Neverland overture is one of my favorite all-time songs on the album, and like one of my all-time favorite theater songs, because I just love all the Finding Neverland songs. So like to have them one is just amazing. And I sometimes just listen to the Finding Neverland overture on the soundtrack. And that's another cool thing is that they include it on those soundtracks because it is a large part of the show that really opens the show and gets everybody in the mood. So that's what an overture is. If you didn't know, now you know. And if you don't know, now you know, Mr. President. A little bit of Hamilton reference there. Sorry about it. I know I'm cringy, but that's okay because you're going to stop listening to me and you're going to start listening to Antonio Cipriano. So without further ado, Antonio Cipriano, curtain up. So this week, we are blessed with the presence of a Jimmy Award finalist, a Sutton Foster Ovation Award winner, and the current star in Jagged Little Pill, and he's going to be a series regular in the upcoming series, Safe Haven. So everyone, welcome to the Take a Bow podcast, the uber-talented Antonio Cipriano.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh my goodness.
For having me, man. I'm excited.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on. I'm very excited. This is our first time actually ever meeting each other. So this is very exciting.
We've been friends for so long.
Oh yeah. I mean, you can chalk it down. We've known each other for years, you know, like that's how it works, you know? So let's the way I like to start off all my like chats and whatnot, I like to ask people, what was their story? Like, how did you get into the entertainment industry now that you're both a Broadway and TV star?
Thank you. So it started when I was a kid. I wasn't a child star as you were, but I did around 8 years old, my parents were like, okay, this kid is crazy. Like, he needs to do something with this like energy that he has. Cause I was running around the house shirtless, singing like parades, everything. You know what I'm saying? So like, okay, let's just like sign him up for a musical theater camp or something, like see what he does. And they signed me up for a summer camp at my local community theater. I did High School Musical and I was Zeke. High School Musical Junior. I was Zeke and it was the best thing I've ever done. And I peaked, but I kept going. I was doing shows I did like 20 shows before I graduated high school. So it was just nonstop.
Was all in your local, you know, theater community. Yes.
Yeah. So I did community theater. I did high school theater, middle school, like whatever I could do. I was trying to do like two or three shows at a time because if I was not busy, I would go crazy. So like, I was always doing it. I was always
absolutely
doing a show. Yeah.
So was your first time in New York for the Jimmy Awards?
No, my first time in New York, I had gone, I think, one or two other times. And I think the first or second time I went was when I saw my first Broadway show. I saw Les Mis when I was 13.
Yes.
I was obsessed. It was like my first, like almost... It wasn't my introduction to Broadway because I was doing shows and stuff, but like that was what made me like really want to do it, I think, was Les Mis. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I was doing the show at my community theater at the time.
Oh no
way.
So
it was all just like really cool. And I met Ramin Karimloo and everything, and it was like the craziest thing. I was freaking out.
Casual, super cash.
Yeah.
I love that. That's so cool. Okay, so your like big break was your performance in Hello My Baby, which you did at your local town in Michigan, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I did that in high school. Yeah.
Right. So you won the Sutton Foster Ovation Award, and that got you a spot at the Jimmy Awards, which was in the 2017 Jimmy Awards, which was the year that Ben Platt hosted, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, yeah. So I'm obsessed with the Jimmy Awards, by the way. Actually, the year before, the Finding Neverland kids guest judged the Jimmy Awards. And it was like the year that Eva won.
Yeah.
And it was like, that was my first ever experience. Because I knew, so where I'm from like near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So I work with Van Kaplan and Keisha all the time.
Because
that was like my local theater with them.
Wow, okay.
So they're the best. So, this is your first time on a Broadway stage, right? So let alone, I mean, like, first of all, you were on like the most terrifying one in the Minskoff. It's huge. What was that feeling like where you were just like stepping out there for the first time and you were just singing your song?
Oh, it was insane. So like, we obviously had rehearsal earlier on in the day and everything. So like, we had walked out on the stage and had that moment. Like, people were crying. Like, it was a very emotional, incredible experience. And then when we got out onto the stage for the opening number, thank God I didn't have a solo in the opening number, because I was sobbing. Like, I was like, wait a second, why am I crying right now? I'm freaking out, because I'm like in the back corner and we're all turned facing the back of the stage. And then we all turn around and like, come with me. And I was like, I turn around and I see the audience and I'm like, oh my God, this is the craziest thing I've ever done. Like, my dream is coming true, basically. It was like amazing. So yeah, I definitely cried. And I'll own that. It was great.
Yeah.
But then, like, thank God we had the opening number, because then the medley was just like fun. I was like, let's go.
Right.
Do it. We're having fun. And I had so much fun during the medley. Honestly, that was like the best experience ever.
I love that. Starting
out, everything was really cool.
How does that work? So like, take us through like a week of the Jimmy Awards. Like, how does the whole like medley work? Who like puts that together? Do the boys who in your group do that? Like, how's that work?
Yeah. So, basically we all, after we win our regional program, we send in a video of our medley, our like song that we would sing in our show. And then we also send in a video of our finalist song, if we were to be a finalist. Uh-huh. And then, they take it and, the music director puts it all, like they pick which ones they want in the medley and they do that and they put it all together and you go to the first rehearsal and it's all together and ready to go.
Wow.
And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. It's amazing how they do it. And, and they had to like, kind of like change the keys on some of the stuff to make things work. And it was just, it was a very cool experience. And like,
it's literally like, in my opinion, I haven't been to a Tony Awards, but like, I've been to the Jimmy Awards, and for me that was like more entertaining than the Tony Awards. Like, you know, you're honestly seeing live performances.
Oh, it is so amazing. Like, the intensity and the excitement in that room, because everyone is doing it for the first time. Like, it's everyone's first time on a Broadway stage, and it's like, oh my gosh, just watching everyone like at the top of their game, just like, this is, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go all out, because this is the coolest things I've ever done in my life. So
yeah.
And I did, a lot of people deal with this, throughout the whole week. You're rehearsing a lot, and you know, like the first few days, you know, you want to show off your voice and stuff for everybody. And so like, well, I literally like lost my voice going into the last day. Like, I woke up the day of the Jimmys and I couldn't talk. Like, I had to borrow someone's steamer. Like, it was really bad.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Luckily someone was like, oh yeah, just use mine. I was like, this isn't sanitary, but I need it, so let's do this.
COVID would not allow that.
Yeah. So it ended up working out and it was all good. But my one tip to anyone going to the Jimmys, preserve your voice, because you know, you don't need to show off the whole week. Just like, take a step back and really, like, the end goal is the last day, like the performance. Right. You don't need to go 100% every single time.
So the Jimmy Award, I mean, we're basically like in the Jimmy Award season. It's coming back. It's coming virtual. Are you going to be watching this year?
Oh, 100%. It's on Thursday, right? Like, it's happening very soon.
Yes.
And is it virtual? Like, are they doing it live or is it all virtual?
I believe it's all virtual. I don't know. Maybe the performance is live. I don't think it is, but I know that it's streaming.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I'm watching it.
I will 100% be watching. I'm so excited for it. It's the most exciting night ever. And I wish that they were able to do it live. You know, it really does. It breaks my heart that they aren't able to do it live.
Yeah.
Honestly, but hopefully next year it'll be able to come back and like be the big event of the season.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. Yeah. It so deserves to be.
Yeah.
Well, Well, ever since the Jimmy Awards, I mean, your career has literally taken off. And now, like I said earlier, you currently play Phoenix in Jagged Little Pill, which is a role that you actually originated when it opened on Broadway, and you were in it before Broadway in Boston. So were you in it before Boston, or was that when you joined?
So I was in it from the first workshop. So they did a reading before I was not in, and then there was a workshop. And the way that I got it actually, so I did the workshop and then out of town and then Broadway. But the way that I got it was so funny. It was like a few months after the Jimmy Awards and I got a Facebook message from the casting director for Jagged. And he was just like, "Hey, I'm the casting director. I would love for you to send in a video for this role of this Alanis Morissette musical." I was like, "Who is Alanis Morissette?" And I'm freaked out.
No.
I didn't know, because like her album came out in 1995. I was not a thought yet. So, but I grew up listening to all the music. Like I knew every song.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's kind of how it all worked out. And then I sent in a self tape and then ended up going to the final callback and everything in New York. And it was the craziest thing. But yeah, that's basically how it happened. I was.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
A Facebook message. That's incredible. Yeah. That's just like, that's when you know it was like meant to be, you know? Like,
really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So freaking cool. So I like to ask people that have been with productions since the very beginning, like, how has it changed since the, like, when you remember it, you know, to now opening up on Broadway?
Yeah. There are so many things that change. I mean, even, you know, my favorite song that I sing in the show, That I Would Be Good, was not even a part of the show in the workshop. Yeah.
Wow.
So just things like that, like adding whole new songs, taking songs out, like it's like a whole crazy process that is ever changing until opening night on Broadway. So yeah. Like we were changing it for 3.5 years before we froze the show. So, there's so many things that change. Like a whole storyline can change. Like, There were times in the read through where like someone would be like, "You know what? I feel like this whole plot point should be in act two." And they're like, "Okay, let's try that." And then, you know, it happens like that. And it's the coolest thing. And it was my first time originating a role. Obviously I was doing like high school theater. Like I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
But after the first read through, I vividly remember this, like Diane, Diablo, all of the creatives of the show, after we got finished with the first read through, they're like, "Okay, how do you guys feel about it? Give us your feedback. What do you think your character needs? What do you like?" Oh, and I was like, "You guys want to hear from me? Like, you want me to tell you how I feel about my character? Like, what? That is so like, that's so foreign to me. Like, I didn't know that concept." That like, so yeah. it was a whole new experience, but it was incredible and so cool. And
well,
I was
like,
my character. Yeah.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask. Like, is this something that like you loved, like that you've managed to do so brilliantly? I mean, you've literally tell when you're on the stage, like in a way it's you, you know, like, I mean, they've built the role around you. Like, is that something that you enjoy, or is it like, do you like portraying someone else's version of someone? Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, no, I love both ways. I love like taking what someone else has done with the role and like putting my own spin on it and doing that for sure. I love originating roles though. I think it was so cool because I was able to make Phoenix so much of myself. Like it was really awesome how that happened. And like, just like small things that happened in the rehearsal room ended up getting on the stage. Like the whole like dog tags line.
Oh yeah.
Literally, like in rehearsal, it was the first time I was rehearsing the scene where I had to take my shirt off, and Diane was like, "Hey, can you take your shirt off?" I was like, "Yeah." I had a dog tag on. It was my grandma gave it to me. I was just like, "Okay, yeah, let me just take off my shirt." And I was, and we were rehearsing it, and Lauren goes, "Oh," she walks in the room. She's like, "Oh, you're wearing dog tags with no shirt." And then like in the next run, she was like, "He was wearing dog tags with no shirt, like a douche." And then we like the room freaked out. It got in the show. Like there's so many cool things like that happened. And, yeah, it's such a different experience than someone else's role. Yeah. So I would love to do it again.
I would love to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's also cool to like know like as someone who's going to be doing it every night, how those little beats came in, you know, and like, yeah. It just like means that much more, and you can play it in such a way that means more to you, which then portrays to the audience. And it's just amazing, you know? I just love all of that. That's so cool. And I think that's one of the things about Diane too, and the way that she directs and everything. Like, even if you're not in the original cast, she actually like puts in the work for like people who will join later, and like makes you feel a part of the show, and allows you to have all of those character developed moments that like original Broadway casts do. And I just think that's so cool. I want to talk to you about, so you're actually my first guest who's been in Jagged Little Pill. So I'm very excited to talk about Jagged Little Pill, because I'm obsessed with it. The story of Jagged Little Pill, I mean, it's just absolutely so, like you've said, like emotional, and it's just so brilliant, and it's so important to like tell a story such as that. Is that something that kind of drew you to the production, or like,
100%, absolutely. So when I first auditioned for it, I didn't know a single thing about it. There was no script. They didn't give me a script. It was just my sides. And then when I first got into the room and we did that read through, I was like, oh my gosh. Like,
yeah,
this is important. This is something that needs, this is, and I was 17. So like, there were a lot of things that were new to me that I had never experienced before, never even like heard these kind of stories before. So, and even that reaction from me is like, okay, this is a very important story to tell, because I didn't know a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know a lot of this stuff, and we need to share that with the world. People need to know about this stuff. So it, in that way, it is very, very, it's an honor to be a part of the show. It was an honor to tell that story every night. And obviously a lot of cast members had it a lot, like doing 8 shows a week of like what Catherine had to do and what Elizabeth had to do. Those kinds of things are very taxing on the mind, on the body. Like it is a very intense show. And we really had to, you know, we really became a family because of that. You know, it was a very tight knit cast because of the intensity of the show. So it was an honor to be part of it, for sure. And to have that be my first thing was really a really cool experience.
Yeah, exactly. It's so literally every night, like you could be across the street hanging out at Frozen or whatever, and you can still hear the people like coming out of the stage door just crying, like, you know, like of people who have just came out of the show and just how moved and everyone is, and the way that you like come out moved, educated, and just like in a loving mood. And I think that's just like the beauty of all theater, but especially with Jagged Little Pill. I think it's just so, it's incredible. I'm obsessed, if you can't tell. So then, you know, you guys are still like a fairly new show when COVID hits, you know, I mean, you guys have been around the block, I mean, but like, you're still fairly new. How have you kind of like, what was that like week like, where you guys are, you know, still fairly new, and then all of a sudden COVID hits and it's like, oh, we may have to shut down, but only for like a few weeks and it'll be fine and then we'll reopen. And then like all of this like just continued to grow and it came longer. Like, what was all of that like? How did you personally navigate through it all?
Yeah. So this is kind of like a long answer. So I was with the show for about 3.5 years. Like it was a while. And so there are, you know, the whole previews process and everything like that, and rehearsals into previews into opening and like press and everything. Like, there's so much going on when you're first opening a show. Like, it is insane. And it was my first time doing that. Like, I had never done that. And then we went to the holidays and like, there was all that, like 9 shows, 10 shows a week. Like, it was crazy. And then I was also doing beauty on top of that. I did the Notebook reading in January. Yeah. So I literally worked myself into the ground. Like, I was exhausted. Sure. So actually when COVID happened, when we were shut down and it was only going to be a month, I was like, oh, let me take a breath. This is actually kind of nice for a second. I get to regroup. I get to like heal from this like train that I was on that was never ending. And it was going to go for a whole year. Like I was going to work myself into the ground for an entire year and just like, it was something that I was not ready to do. Mm-hmm. And I looked at COVID. I was like, okay, this is nice. This is a good regroup time. I can just relax for a second. So I was relieved a little bit. And then we left the day after, went back home and never came back.
Oh my God.
It's been a year and a half now. So like, I'm a completely different person than when I left the show.
Right.
It's wild to think that we haven't lost, but a whole year and a half has gone by.
Right.
It's like, cause I have learned a lot in this year. Like I've grown in ways that I would have never grown, I'm thankful for this year. 100%.
Absolutely.
But it is wild to think that we have lost a year and a half of Broadway, of everything. So,
right.
You know, as we kept going and as we kept getting pushed back, as there was no answer of coming back, I was like, whoa, okay. So this is like real life now. It was vacation. Now it's real life. Like this is my life now. I need to, start auditioning, start figuring stuff out and figure out how to live, how to, do everything, normal again. So that was a big learning curve again, because like we go from such a high of like on Broadway debut, like it's so cool, and then stop, and it stopped after 4 months, and like it was a big shift. So it wasn't like a gradual shift,
it was just like I can't imagine.
And I mean, if I'm honest, I'm still figuring it out. I think everyone is. I mean, we're a year and a half in, and I'm still like, what am I doing? What am I doing with my life? Like, what's happening? Like,
right.
It happened. And it's okay to feel that way. I've learned that it's okay to feel that way.
Sure.
So I'm figuring it out. I'm happy Broadway is coming back, and like things are getting back to normal.
Yeah.
It was definitely a big shift though.
Right. So now that Broadway is coming back, are you gonna be in Jagged Little Pill like again?
There's conversations happening. Like it's still going on, ongoing stuff.
Okay.
Like offers are out and everything. Just figuring out scheduling and stuff like that, because there's other things. Obviously, we had a year and a half to like have other things come up. So it's that whole process is still ongoing, and we're figuring it all out. But yeah,
gotcha.
Well, I'm excited for Broadway back regardless.
Exactly. Just to be able to even like see it, even if I'm not working, I'm like, I'm just excited to see people, support everyone, that's just like the way that this community is. It's all about like supporting each other. And I like can't wait to have that feeling back in my life again,
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. So, I mean, like even like through COVID, I know like you said, like everything stopped and whatnot, but like, you still managed to work a lot, you've been doing a lot of things. And most recently you had a cast album come out called In the Light. Speak about this project for those who may not know about it. And then I have a couple questions to follow.
In the Light was created by Michael Mott and Nathan Wright. And Michael had been, I believe, working on this project. I had been saying since college, but I saw in an interview recently that he's been working on it since high school. Like it's been an idea for a
while.
So to be a part of it is incredible and such an honor. And he actually reached out to me about the show in November of 2018. He DM'd me on Instagram and was like, "Hey, you're so great. Like I would love for you to send in a video and like, see if you can be a part of the show." And I was like, "Yes, I would love to. I would love to be a part of it." And when he, Dare to Dream and everything, I had already heard Jeremy and Laura on their version of it. So I was super pumped about it. So I did one of the first workshops of the show. And then there was like a few other recordings that I did here and there. And then over COVID, he was like, we're gonna record this album. I'm gonna get a full symphony in Vienna and we're gonna do this remotely. And I was like, great, let's go.
Oh my God.
I said it. So it honestly, like, the fact that it all came together the way it did is so beautiful.
Right.
And yeah, being a part of two albums that have been recorded remotely this quarantine, it was so incredible how they were put together and like how they were managed to happen. Yeah, like I filmed in Tennessee, I filmed in LA, I filmed in New York, I filmed,
oh my God,
everywhere. So it was really amazing how they were able to make it work.
That's so freaking cool. I love that. Like, that's the other thing about, like, I know, like, a lot of people, you know, haven't been like working live and whatnot, but to see what everyone's been able to do and like still manage to like work and like do things from home and just figure it out as we go, like, it's just been, it's so cool what people have been able to do virtually on these, like, those Broadway whodunits, which I know you did, like, all of those, like, things, you know, like those fun things. Everyone's just been making art for people. It's just so, it's cool. Like, and we don't even realize that, like, I mean, I guess we do because they did it, but like at the same time, it's like, how is this a thing? How are we able to be in like four different places at once? And like, it's just so cool.
It is really, really cool. And Andrew got me through it for a second. Like, good for him. He barely talked about it, but like, he was amazing. Like,
oh my God,
making all this content for people, like, it was
the Broadway Jackbox, all those things.
No, he was killing it. I was like, damn, good for you, man.
Now he's in High School Musical, no big deal.
No, he's like, killing it right now, just released another song. Like, come on.
Fine. Oh my God, every pretty girl, it's so good.
Yes.
So, and now, I mean, you have songs out now too. Like, come on. You, and then of course, so back to In the Light. So you, I mean, I guess like you weren't able to be, were you able to be in the room with people like singing, or like, was it just you like remotely? Like, how did that all work?
So when we did it remotely, I recorded most of my stuff on the album here in LA. Michael knew a guy out here who, like, we both got tested. Like, he has a home studio. So we both got tested. He wore a mask, and we recorded in his home studio. And Michael was on Zoom, and we just figured it out. We just did it. And it was very COVID safe. Like, I was turned this way and he was turned that way. Like, it was
great.
Like, yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
How cool is it to have like a song out there with like you and Jeremy Jordan and Sierra Renee and like all these people?
Let me tell you, it is so humbling to be with these people in this cast. Like,
it's unbelievable, powerhouse. This cast.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I mean, obviously I was looking up to Jeremy Jordan since I was younger. Like, he's like Smash, I knew, like, all of this stuff. So working with him, and I actually got to work with him in the workshop of the show. And that was amazing. That was very cool. And like, I'd worked with Saleha before. She is incredible. I haven't worked with Sierra yet, but she's absolutely amazing. Yeah. So just like, yeah, it was very, very cool to be a part of such a talented cast.
You guys, like, when you, like, when Broadway reopens and everything's, like, safe and all, but you guys have to have, like, a little cast party or something and just, like, actually be able to meet people.
Celebrate it. Yeah.
Right.
I hope that we get to celebrate it at some point with everybody. Because things are opening up. Like, things are back. Like, vaccines.
Exactly.
We're good. We're good to celebrate some of our successes over this year and a half, because it's been so sad. God, life has been so sad.
I know. I'm like, that's what I love about this. Like, at least I'm still like figuring out ways to like meet new people and like be able to talk to people that aren't my family, like members that like I see every day. I'm like, it's good to talk to some new faces and like.
Yes, I love that you're doing this. This is so cool. Did you pick it up during COVID?
Or was I did. It was actually an idea before COVID, and then it just like worked out that like COVID happened, and like it was a way to like it shifted, as in like a way to keep everyone entertained, you know. And actually, I started this with Sydney Lucas, who did your Thespians. I loved that. That was so brilliant. Yeah. That was another fun thing you did through COVID. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, Pacey killed that, man. I mean, like, just having those rehearsals and like, it's very impressive seeing what he's done. Like, and he mm-hmm. just booked things. Like, he's doing really, really well.
Oh, wow.
And like, yeah. And I saw him at the Jimmy's. I saw him do his thing. So it's really, it's cool to see these people come out of the Jimmy's and like, just like coming up young, like you and stuff. Like, it's it's a cool little group that we got going.
It's amazing. And it's awesome to see like it grow every year too, you know, like it seems like more and more people are becoming more aware of it, and it, you should like that. I don't know. I feel like there's nothing better than like watching young talent, like especially like, you know, like everyone's still like figuring themselves out. The voices are changing. Everything's happening. And then it gives them a space to like perform. And I think that's like brilliant, you know, like on a Broadway stage, there's like, you don't have like, that's better than America's Got Talent. Like, if you ask me, you know, like,
oh my gosh,
the opportunity is just so cool. I love the Jimmy Awards. It's amazing.
It's really cool.
Yeah, literally. Do you have a favorite song in the Light album?
I'd say that my favorite song to sing is Tomorrow Begins Today. But my favorite song to hear is probably Rise or Fall, because it's so intense. And I love Jeremy and Bobby's voices. Like, they're both incredible. And I've worked with Bobby too, and he's just like amazing. He's like a big brother. He's the coolest guy.
Oh, I love that.
But like, their voices together on that just like is so cool. And it's so intense and so big. And I love that kind of stuff. Like, Les Mis is my favorite musical. Like, I'm a big into big symphony orchestra type stuff.
Absolutely. So. Mm. That the synth, oh my God, the way that like just everything, you would never know that like it was done virtually. Like, I don't know. I feel like it has to be like so hard, especially with like the fact that Jeremy and Bobby were like singing the same song. You would never know they weren't in the same room. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, it's amazing how like all of that has been able to like work and work extremely well. Like, the album is incredible. I can't stress that enough. It's so good.
It's a testament to how amazing Michael and everyone worked worked tirelessly to get this together. It was really, really cool.
So like, is there like a next step with this show? Like, what's happening?
As of right now, I don't know. He has texted me that he's very excited about things that are happening. So I don't
Like,
once I can tell you, I'm very excited. So
yeah.
I'm excited to hear what's going on with it, but I don't know. I think it's got some exciting things coming up for sure.
Well, that's great, because I mean, as sad as it is to hear, like, you know, how COVID affected a few shows that has had to close, it's been, I don't know, it gives everyone an opportunity to see new art and like new pieces, and I'm excited for those next opportunities and next new things to go see. I mean, like, that's a positive of COVID, you know, like there's that negative side of, this show closed, but you have to look at the positives, you know, especially during these times.
Absolutely. You definitely got to point out the positives, because there's too many negatives to think about.
Right? So. Oh my God. And then, and then like all of these incredible shows, like Trevor, and, I mean, that's off Broadway, but like that and there's so many amazing shows just coming out, and Bruce Springsteen's coming back to Broadway. Like, who would have thought he would have opened Broadway? Like, it's such a 2021 thing, you know? Like, it's like the, like, if you want to describe 2021, it's the fact that Bruce Springsteen opened Broadway back up, you know?
He is
like,
the first Broadway show to come back.
It's just like, it's incredible, but it's allowed so many fun, like, things to come back into our lives and new things to come into our lives as well. But speaking of COVID, so like I said, you did the Thespians video, and you've been doing Broadway Whodunits and all of that. Like, what other things have you been doing to like pass your time, or like both in projects or in like daily lives, like scrolling through TikTok or whatever, you know?
Oh yeah. TikTok has become therapy, but, I've been, you know, it has been weird. Like, I'm just like a different person now. Like, I do different things, you know. I've picked up a lot of golf. I golf a lot.
No way.
Yeah, it just like really calms me down. I'm just like, all right. And I found this really, really beautiful course in California.
Okay.
It's like on a hill that like you get a view of everything. Oh my gosh. It's it's more just like, I'm going to come up here and just like look at the views and, you know, play a little golf and just relax. And it's really calming for me. You know, I've been trying to, you know, stay healthy, work out a little bit, try to, you know, stay in shape. I'm not doing 8 shows a week, you know what I'm saying? So like, it's a whole different thing. Cause like,
I know
you're working your butt off when you're on the show. Like, you don't even have to work out during the day for right. Broadway, but now I'm just sitting on my butt. Like, I don't even know. I have to, you got to stay active a little bit. So there's that. You know, I've just been trying to do whatever I can, try to seize every opportunity. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I'm trying to sing as much as possible just because it does make me happy. And like, if you don't, you know, you just get really sad and stuff like that. So, you know, we're trying to make it work, trying to make life work, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, like as abruptly as everything stopped, it's abruptly everything started back up and like auditions have been coming in 10 at a time, which is great. Overwhelming sometimes, but great. but yeah, so first off, we need to go golfing when you're in New York, you know? I do. I have clubs right there.
Let's go. Let's go.
I don't know if you can see them.
I can see them. Yeah. Let's do it. Let's go golfing. 100%.
My room is not clean. Yeah. Oh my God. I'm obsessed. There's like 3 courses near me. I moved recently. So like I just tried one. I'm actually in Rockaway Beach now. So like I'm 2 blocks away from the beach. It's like, I'm chilling. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because like I lived in Long Island City. And I lived in this like apartment, but I have 5 family members. So it's me, my mom, my dad, and I have 3 siblings and my 3 siblings and I'm the youngest. So I got a sister and a brother and I'm the youngest and we were all sharing a room. And so it was a lot. It was a
during
lot.
COVID? Was it just during COVID or was it like?
It was just during COVID because everyone was in college. So like they were away and we'd only have to do it like during the summer, which was like 2 months. So it was doable. Like, you know, and it was like time that we wanted together because we had missed the past 8 months or whatever, you know. Exactly. And now we're like pulling each other's hair out. So we were like, we need bigger spaces. we resorted here because my mom wanted to be at the beach. So so now there's a bunch of golf courses near me and I'm like, I've been trying to go more often and it's like, great.
That's amazing. But
I love it. So I'm actually a big hockey fan. So hockey players and hockey fans, I don't know if you can tell like all that. They're big golfers. It's kind of similar, but not really. So another thing I you mentioned singing. And I noticed earlier that when I was saying with the Jimmy Awards and everyone's voices changing and all that, you kind of had like a bit of a like reaction. I'm going to ask you about your voice change. How was that? Like,
navigating that?
It's no joke.
My voice is still changing, believe it or not. I'm still trying to figure it out. But I actually remember the first time that I realized my voice had changed from like, to like, it was when I was in, I think I was in like, it might have been freshman or sophomore. No, it was like 8th grade or something. And it was like 7th grade. I started whenever at the normal time.
What?
7th grade, I think maybe. It wasn't like low, but it wasn't like, I couldn't sing like I Want You Back by Michael Jackson anymore.
Right.
Like, I couldn't. Oh my gosh, what's going on? I sing I Won't Give Up at like a theater camp or something. And I was able to sing it in Jason Mraz's key. And I was like, that's weird. Cause like, I can't usually do that. So I was like, whoa, my voice is changing. This is great. I was like, whoa, my voice is changing. So yeah, I think it was like 7th grade or something. But yeah, my voice is truly still changing. Like I'm 21 and like, my voice cracks all the time. So like, I'm just like, figuring it out. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Well, I'm jealous because I'm going into my freshman year of college and I still haven't allowed myself to think that my voice has changed. My voice actually changed 2 years ago and when I was like just entering my sophomore year. So it was a late change.
Yeah.
But so I still haven't allowed myself. I still think I have that high pitched voice, but that's a whole nother story.
I'm sure you do. Like, I can tell that you can sing pretty high. Like, can you just like,
I can't though.
Belt your face off?
I don't know. Like, I can't figure it out. That's my problem. Everyone I talk to tells me that. You're like, your speaking voice is so high, you should be able to belt. And I'm like, I can't. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Well, I you probably are. Like, I'm obviously, like, everyone's voice is still changing. Like, our voice changes forever, like, until we're older. So, but yeah, like, it probably didn't change for a while because you were doing shows and you kind of, like, we're always singing up there or something. And then it you had like sort of a delayed, like.
Yeah, drop. Literally. I was actually, so do you know Trevor the Musical? It's coming off Broadway.
I don't know. Maybe.
It's about the Trevor Project.
Okay. So, yes, I have heard of this.
Yeah, so I was doing that my freshman year in Chicago. That was the world premiere. So literally I was doing that every night. And so then it closed on a Sunday. I had Monday. I woke up and I flew back. And then I woke up Tuesday and my voice dropped. I was like, thank God. It held out just right. Like, it noticed I wasn't singing it. And it was like, okay, I can drop. I was like, thank you, Lord. But speaking of all of the singing stuff, you actually have an upcoming 54 Below concert on August 5th. Yes. I want to talk about this. Are we allowed to talk about this? Like, what are you allowed to tell me?
Yeah, I ask me questions and I will try to answer them. We'll see.
Amazing. So what is it about? I know it's like nostalgia. So what is it like?
Yeah,
older music?
Yeah, the idea for the concert, so they asked me to do it. They asked me to do a concert. I was like, great. I don't know what I'm going to do, but let me figure it out. And I started realizing, I was like, my go-to music for COVID and everything is like throwback music to when I was a kid. Like early 2000s music. Like that is what I go to for when I'm stressed and when I'm like, when I want to wind down. That's what I listen to. That's like my favorite kind of music. So I was like, let me just do my throwback playlist as my as my music.
Brilliant.
So I'm doing a lot of songs from when I was younger.
Broadway. Yeah.
Not a lot. There are going to be like two things, musical theater, I think. Which I know that, you know, I should probably do more, but I've had a whole year and a half. I was just like, let me just do what I want to sing. You know, I just want to have fun singing it. And like, that's what I love to sing. And that's my favorite kind of music. So I'm just going to do it. So I'm pumped about doing that. And I have Tyler Kappa as my music director.
Oh yeah.
I found my two, I have my whole band now and I'm so pumped about it. So just like I got my whole band together. I'm so, so pumped about it. And it's going to be super fun.
Is this your solo concert debut?
I did a solo concert in 2018. In 2018, I did a solo concert. And it was actually from like all of the YouTube videos that Tyler and I used to post. Like high school and they reach out to us and they're like, hey, we love your videos on YouTube, we'd love for you to do a concert. And I was like, well, let's do it, let's have some fun. And then the few days before the concert I got laryngitis, so that was horrible. It was a horrible experience.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And I like it wasn't very fun. Like, I mean, it was a great concert, it was like super fun, but I could barely sing. So
hopefully this one's better.
Hopefully this one's better. I'm going to pray I don't get laryngitis this time.
Right. So. Hopefully this one works in your favor. How excited are you to be back on a stage?
Oh, I am so pumped. I think we're going to have so much fun. just to like see a bunch of people. And I hope by that time they're going to be able to sell more tickets, because I think we're only allowed to have 100 right now, but like the venue is like 150 or something. So hopefully they can make more tickets go on sale so that we can have a full audience. Just because like I want to feel that energy, that atmosphere, because it's been a long time. It's been a lot, because like even the Jagged Little Pill reunion concert, there was no audience. It was just like silence out there. It'll be the first time in front of an audience, so I'm very excited about that.
I'm jealous. That's amazing. Yeah. I'm gonna be in the audience. I'm booking a ticket as soon as we get off this. Yes, absolutely. I'm ready. I just can't wait to see live music. So what's better? And it's gonna be very different from what you've kind of been doing and being Will in the upcoming series Safe Haven. Are y'all done filming that, or like what's going on?
Yeah. So it's so funny. With Safe Haven, we were supposed to film back in November of last year. Things started picking up, and then COVID kind of has delayed it. So it still has been delayed. We haven't been able to work on it yet, but I am so excited for when it is able to come back. It was really hard. It was like in the thick of COVID, like in the middle of it. We were trying to do this show, and it's really tough because having to test people every day, or like just that extra expense added on to what is already so expensive is so difficult. So the logistics
and the vaccines went around, right?
So like that whole I'm hoping with the vaccine and everything, like things will get like restrictions will loosen, and we'll be able to make it work, and we'll be able to film it at some point soon. Because I was so excited to be a part of it. It's such a cool show. I'm so pumped about it.
So have you always wanted to do both like musical theater and like dramatic acting and like film and stuff? Or was it?
Yes.
You do? Okay.
Yeah. My fourth grade dream career speech was me like winning an Oscar. So like I always wanted to be like in movies and TV. Like it's been a dream of mine. So
that's amazing.
It was so cool to book that. And also like, getting a non-singing role was really cool. I was like, oh my gosh, I can act. I didn't know I could act. I thought I was just getting, I'm sure you like feel that. Like it's
oh yeah.
Oh my gosh, this lawnmower is so loud. I'm sorry about that. But, it was really, really, I was so pumped about it. So hopefully it works out. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Oh my God. He's so loud.
Yes. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. It's all good. Well, there it is, everyone. Watch Safe Haven when it comes out. We'll follow it. Wait. First, go give your social media handles so they can know when it's like coming out and stuff.
Yes. My Instagram is at @AntonioCipriano_. And that is also my TikTok. And then my Twitter is @AntonioSip_. Sip. Just the sip, Antonio Sip, because they did
that.
They ran Antonio.
That's
Cipriano.
A CIP, right? Not SIP.
CIP, yes. Yeah. Yes, CIP. Nobody say SIP. It's CIP for
right.
sure.
Okay. But there you have it. Follow him along. Check out his 54 Below show. Check out Safe Haven. Listen to In the Light. It's such a beautiful album. It's got all of your favorite Broadway stars, literally. Go watch Jagged Little Pill, which is like. I mean, you're just going to go cry for a theater in 2.5 hours. So go for it. And check out Antonio Cipriano on Instagram and all the fun things on social media. And Antonio, thank you so much for doing this. Thanks for coming on.
Man.
And it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yes. It's been so fun. Thank you.
Oh, my God. You're the best. Thank you so much. Take a bow, Antonio Cipriano. So just a quick disclaimer before I go into the rest of the like interview breakdown, I guess. I'm sure you all picked up on this, but we did record this before the Jimmy Awards happened. So we couldn't recap the Jimmy Awards, but we were able to talk about it and talk about the weekend and everything else involved in the Jimmy Awards. So that was exciting for me. And I thought, I know it could have been fun to like hear that before the Jimmy Awards, but I mean, it wouldn't have been as much fun because this whole Jimmy Awards season, the past two seasons actually, have been virtual. So they've been completely different from what we just talked about. But it was just wonderful to talk to him about the Jimmy Awards, even though it was before the show had happened. And I don't know. I just think it's one of the coolest, like we mentioned in the episode, like, it's probably more entertaining than the Tony Awards for me. If anyone has been to the Jimmy Awards, I mean, it's just incredible. You're seeing a bunch of young talent hungry for an opportunity to perform on a Broadway stage, even though they're doing so for the first time, but they are hungry to do it every single night of their lives. And Antonio Cipriano and people like him and Andrew Barth Feldman and Renee Rapp and Eva Noblezada and all of these incredible people have been able to do that. But yeah, I just wanted to talk also about, I wanted to say thank you to Antonio for joining me this episode, because I thought it was a wonderful episode. I thought it was a lot of fun to talk about Jagged Little Pill, something that I haven't talked about much on this podcast before. I know it's still a newer show, and I don't know if everyone's been able to see the show yet, but I've been dying to talk to someone in Jagged Little Pill. And of course, now that it's reopening, I thought, what an awesome opportunity to do so and to talk about Diane Paulus and the way that she directs and, of course, Alanis Morissette's music. I loved that he didn't know who she was, but like had listened to her music and just didn't realize, and all of those fun stories that he was able to share with us. And of course, you know, what he's going through now through the pandemic and through his new TV show and everything like that, that had to stop. And now it's going to hopefully be restarting after this wonderful concert that he has going on. And of course, talking about this concert, about talking about his favorite throwbacks hits that he always listens to help him calm down. That's what he's going to be. He's going to be allowing himself to become vulnerable for an hour and a half at 54 Below and into his relaxing state to really share a moment with us and kind of a moment into who Antonio is as a human and his story and everything else involved. And I loved the way that he was able to get his start in theater and everything like that. So Antonio, thank you for providing this week's entertainment and this week's smiles and light. You were a wonderful guest, and I cannot wait. It was wonderful to meet you. It was our first time actually like getting a chance to like talk, not like in person, but like kind of face to face virtually. I don't know. Oh, and then of course, when he talked about In the Light, a new project that he's been working on during quarantine, and how he's been able to record a whole cast album from his home with this incredible cast, go check it out. It's with Sierra Renee, it's with Jeremy Jordan, it's with Antonio Cipriano, of course, and all of these incredible Broadway stars coming together to join forces to create this wonderful album called In the Light. And it's now available on Apple Music, on Spotify, on everywhere you can get your music. Honestly, this album will literally blow you away. It's so freaking good. I was literally listening to it on repeat for a solid like 3 weeks before I was finally able to get Antonio on to prepare and everything like that. But it's just so beautiful. The songs are amazing, and everyone's voices together, you would have no idea that it was recorded in separate places, because Jeremy Jordan and Antonio Cipriano and Sierra Renee, like, they all sing together, but like they weren't singing together, you know, like they were all recording in a bunch of different places separately at different times. And it's like just crazy that you would never guess it. You would all think it's in one space. It's just mind boggling that what they were able to pull off and at such high quality entertainment. And it's just so amazing. And literally the songs are amazing. So please go check that out. Literally everywhere you can listen to music. It's called In the Light once again. But yeah, it was awesome. And I think that this was an entertaining episode. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode, and we'll see you all next week. And I hope to actually see you next week in person at Antonio's 54 Below concert. But if not, I'll be in your ears, because it is going to be on Thursday. So all is well, and I will see you next week, whether it's in person or it's in your ears. So until then, bye everyone. Have a wonderful week, and thank you for listening. And I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Okay. Bye everyone. For this episode's Curtain Call, I would like to recognize a few people who also deserve to take a bow. This podcast would not be possible without the help from Dory Berenstain, Brittany Bigelow, Katie Rosen, Alan Seals, and the team at the Broadway Podcast Network. Next in line to take a bow is Tessie Tokash, who edits the audio and all the visuals for this podcast. A special thanks to patrons Brian Thompson, Pat McNamara, the listeners at PCC, as well as all of the other patrons for their continued support. If you're interested in becoming a patron, go to patreon.com/TAB. And if you enjoyed this week's episode, don't forget to subscribe on the platform that you're currently listening to this on. Also, feel free to give us a follow on Instagram at Take a Bow Podcast. Take a Bow's logo is designed by Giselle Bustos, and the music is by Nikki Torsha and Cormac Collinon. Bye, everyone. Hope to see you next week.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.